Hey, my name is Ron Moore, and I'm here with Tunch Ilkin, who is the pastor of men's ministry at the Bible Chapel.
Yeah.
And the Steelers broadcast color analyst. I always have to write that down, Tunch, when I introduce you, just to get all those words in there. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You played 14 years in the NFL, 13 with the Steelers.
Right.
You're in Green Bay. Been a broadcaster since you retired in, 90 or...
98. Well, when I retired, I started being a host of the Steeler pregame show. Okay. And then next year, I was working for NBC doing color. And then I didn't like that, so I wanted to be the color analyst for the Steelers radio network.
I remember that you were big time. You went national for a little bit.
Yeah,
you just didn't like that lifestyle.
Yeah, it was because I was gone all weekend long, and I wasn't seeing my kids, and I wanted to coach my kids in youth football, and I couldn't, and I wanted to see Natalie's soccer games, and I coached Tanner and I coached Clay, and that was so good.
That's cool. So I was running the other day, and I was thinking about this time together, and I wanted to ask you a question. You mind if I ask you this question?
Go ahead.
So you're a 14 years NFL player, offensive lineman, all pro, whole bit, and you have this long career as a Steeler broadcaster. Do you think you are more well-known, and you are a very well-known guy? I mean, every time I go with you, I'm taking pictures of you and somebody, right?
I'm taking pictures of you and somebody.
I'm the picture guy.
Yeah.
I'm the camera guy.
Yeah.
Do you think you're more well-known as a player or as a color analyst, as an announcer?
You know, I don't know, but I think as a broadcaster, because a lot of young kids – hadn't seen me play,
mm-hmm.
and they don't know about my playing career, and so one of the things I went to was an autograph session at the home show, and I was sitting there, and this guy came up and he said, "What are you signing autographs for?" And I said, "Because they asked me to," and he looked up on the sign. He said, "Tunch Ilkin, I don't know you," and I said, "I was an offensive tackle." And he said, "You don't look like you're an offensive tackle. You look too small." And I was thinking, the Lord is humbling me today. And he said, "Oh, I know you. You are Myron Cope's sidekick." And so I was walking out, and this girl comes running up to me. Young girl, she said, "Did you used to play for the Steelers?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Who did you used to be?" And so I said, I used to be Tunch Ilkin, but I ain't here no more."
Who did you used to be?
Yeah.
We've used that a lot. That's actually a great question.
Yeah.
I didn't plan on this, but that's a great segue.
Yeah.
To what I would like to do over some next sessions with you. We're going to do a few of these. And we do a thing here, Tunch, called a life map.
Right.
And we like to look at different segments of life, right?
Yeah.
And then during those times, what formed us, right? So what were some high times? What were some hard times?
Right.
Who were some influencers in our life? And then looking back, how we see the hand of God do all
that.
So what I'd like to do today is to start, we know all a lot about your playing career.
Right.
We know as a broadcaster, all that, and Pittsburgh, man. Again, Pittsburgh knows you well, but I'd like to go back and start talking about your childhood.
Right.
Growing up, and how you were influenced, and things that happened.
Yeah.
And just kind of those formative years, right?
Yeah.
So. You were born. We were born the same. We're getting old. We were born the same year.
Yeah,
it was a good year.
57.
It was a great year.
Yeah,
but you were born in Turkey.
Right.
Right. So you know any Turkish?
I speak fluent Turkish. I speak to my mom every day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You were actually, when we were doing some sound checks, you said something in Turkish.
Yeah, right? I was telling you merhaba, Ron. And, one of the things that I have done is I've gone back to Turkey and coached football. Hmm. And that's a missionary trip. Hmm. And, you know, sharing Jesus with the Turks. And the way that I coach speaks Turkish. So I okay. speak Turkish, and those guys understanding me.
Isn't that cool that you learned a language yeah. that you can go back now and use for yeah. Jesus? That's pretty cool. So 57, you're born in Turkey.
Right.
Your mom was like Miss Turkey or something.
Right. She was the runner-up.
Runner-up?
Yeah.
Miss Turkey. And you're there until, was it 59-ish or something like that?
1960, we came out to okay. America, and I was 2.5.
Stop there a second. Have you ever thought about, what if you hadn't made that trip?
Yeah.
What would your life have been?
Oh, yeah. You know, Ron, I thank God every day when I walk in my prayer walk. That I said, Lord, thank you for bringing me to America. Because I don't know if I would have been saved, but you know, God has a plan, and I thank Him for not letting me die lost, mm-hmm. because I could have died lost, and thank God for bringing me to America. And when I pray with my mom, I thank God for my dad, who was courageous, mm-hmm. and my mom, who was, when we came over here, and they didn't want to go back. My mom did, but my dad didn't.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So your aunt, your uncles, let's just think of your uncles.
Yeah.
Had you stayed in Turkey, what would your life have been like? What would you have probably done?
I would have been a soccer player.
You would have been a soccer
yeah,
player.
I would have been a soccer player or a wrestler. Yeah, okay. the two most popular sports in Turkey is wrestling and soccer, and now basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I played basketball with you. You wouldn't have been a basketball player.
Yeah, I wouldn't have played basketball.
So a soccer or a wrestler.
Right.
Pretty cool. So you guys come over. It's 1960, and you settle in Chicago.
Right.
Do you remember why?
Yeah,
Chicago?
Because my dad's brother, my uncle Ali, was a doctor in Chicago, and so we moved into uptown. It's an inner city, and we lived in a one-room apartment, and the bed fell out of the closet. It was, it was a Murphy bed. And I slept in the kitchen on a cot, and I remember my mom saying, "So this is an America. So this is America."
So she's ready to go back.
Yeah, she was ready to go back.
Pretty courageous for your dad to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So when you come over, what does he do? I mean, he's an immigrant. He comes over. Like, what job did he
do? He was an accountant, and he got a job as an accountant, and mm-hmm. he was a mathematical genius. My father was, and he worked so hard, and he did two jobs, and he worked Saturdays, and he worked so hard, and I got my work ethic from him. So I saw him working so hard, and I said, "Dad, You have two jobs." And he said, "Yes, mm-hmm. Because I want to make money."
You know, we're going to get to this in your story, but just going ahead a little bit, I remember you saying there was a story in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette about something like the Steelers will never win with Tunch Okun right. as tackle, and you took that and you said, "No one will outwork me."
Yeah.
And you were already working hard before then.
Right.
But that was the motivation. So that had to come from your dad to say, not, "Man, that's devastating.
Right.
I'm sure it hurt, but I'm going to prove that guy wrong."
So when 1983, my first year as a full-time starter, I started the playoff game against the LA Raiders, and I had a terrible game against Lyle Alzado. And the headlines.
Who didn't? Who did not have a bad game?
Well, you know, I had a terrible game against them. And it was the headline read, "Steelers will never win with Tunch Ilkin at tackle." And so I started working hard. And, you know, I've always worked hard. And, you know, and I was so mad at Lyle Alzado. So when I went to the Pro Bowl, he was there working for ESPN. And so I walked by him and I put my head down. And Lyle said, "Tunch, you're not going to say hi?" And I said, "I'm still mad at you for whooping my butt 1983, Lyle." And he said, "Everybody gets their butt whooped. Now you're at the Pro Bowl." So,
that's great.
Yeah.
So your dad, you really learned that from him.
Yeah.
He was a hard worker. Tell us a little bit about your dad. What was he like? He was, where'd you get your size?
Yeah.
Because he was pretty small guy.
I got my size from my uncles.
Okay.
My mom's brothers were tall, 6 foot, and I got my height from them. And my dad was short, 5'7". But he was a stubborn guy, and he was a hard worker, and he didn't take any crap from anybody. He was a hard worker, and you know, he was outspoken, and so, you know, I imitated him.
So your mom and your dad, talk about, as you're growing up, just talk about their relationship. When you think about your mom and dad, I get to meet your dad.
Yeah.
I know your mom. I know you looked up to me. You don't have any, you're an only child.
Yeah.
Right? And so kind of, what was your relationship with them growing up?
Well, I was very close to my mom and dad because I was an only child. You know, my mom, I was went with her everywhere in Chicago. I went to the grocery store with her. I went to the, laundromat with her, and I always went with my dad. Saturdays, we went to the Lincoln Park Zoo, and so my dad was. Was my friend, and my mom was my friend, but I just loved them both and loved being with them both.
So you had a great, when you think of your childhood, you had a good memories, right?
Right.
Positive memories,
right.
Growing up.
Yeah, I had a positive memory with my dad and with my mom, and we were very, very close.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're Muslim.
Yeah.
At that point, seriously Muslim or more cultural?
More culturally Muslim.
Okay.
My dad, when my parents came here, you said, "How can I minister to your parents?" I said, "Go find out if my dad's really saved." And so my dad said he was looking for God in Judaism, in Islam, and in Catholicism, and then he finally found Jesus in Christianity. And he was a cultural Muslim, and my mom read the Quran. And every day, or every couple days, and I watched her, and she taught me Islam, but it didn't take.
Mm-hmm. You learned, come over at 3, so you're talking some, but you learn, you speak fluent Turkish,
right?
So you have that culture in your home. Did you get bullied or anything because you're an immigrant?
Yeah, I did. Turkish? I did get bullied. When I was in Chicago, I didn't get bullied as much because everybody was different. You know, there were Greeks, there were Turks, there were Hispanics, there was African Americans, but when I went to Highland Park, it's a suburb, I started getting bullied, but I didn't take it. I'd fight back.
You've always said one thing the Turks like to do is fight.
Right, that Turkish part.
So you had that in you. You weren't gonna take it.
I was a fighter, and when the guys say we're gonna eat you for turkey for Thanksgiving, so I drill them.
Okay, so you're growing up.
Yeah.
As you're growing up, what are some of the early memories you have? What, like, you went to the zoo? Anything else that you kind of remember that you did?
Yeah, my dad took me horseback riding.
Oh, okay.
Every Saturday. And we went horseback riding at the zoo, at Lincoln Park Zoo. There was pony rides, but there was a stable a couple blocks away. So we started horseback riding. And my dad started watching football. And I was captured by football. And in my neighborhood, the guys were playing street football every week, and so I started playing football.
That's cool. So you're 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever during this time.
Yeah.
And so you're playing pickup football.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. But you were a baseball player as well.
Right. I played baseball in junior high and in high school, and I played catcher. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I did was junior year, I quit baseball to participate in track because I got a chance to lift. I was a shot putter and a high jumper, but I wasn't good at any either of them.
So you played, and we have the same childhood hero.
Yeah.
Mickey Mantle.
Right.
And tell the story. So now we're moving not from your childhood, we're moving later. So now you're in New York. You're an all-pro NFL football player.
Yeah.
But there was Mickey Mantle. Tell that story.
Well, Sharon and I were in New York because a company was trying to recruit me, and Merrill Lynch. And so we went to Mickey Mantle's. And so we walked in the door, and Sharon hit a wet spot, and she started backstroking, and I let go of her, and so I go, "The Mick, Mick," and she said, "Why did you catch me? I almost broke my neck." I said, "The Mick," so we sat at a table for lunch, and I said, "Go get Mickey Mantle's autograph." And she said, "I'm not getting Mickey Mantle's autograph. Get it for Tanner." And she goes, "Tanner doesn't know who Mickey Mantle is."
You couldn't go do it.
Yeah, I was
awestruck.
Yeah,
awestruck. Starstruck.
Yeah, that's the first time I was awestruck when I saw the Mick.
So, Cubs fan, White Sox fan.
White Sox fan.
White Sox, and name some of the players that you followed.
Pete Ward,
No Neck Williams, remember him?
Yeah, No Neck Williams. Sorry. Walt Williams. He was great. Tommy Agee.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ferguson Jenkins?
Yeah, Ferguson Jenkins. But that Ferguson Jenkins was at the Cubs.
Oh, yeah. I forget.
That. I got his autograph.
Did you get?
Yeah, okay. I couldn't go to White Sox games because they were all at night. Mm-hmm. But I went to Cub games, the first team that I rooted for was the White Sox, and then anyone that was playing the Cubs.
So, Tunch, you tell that story because you used to get, when you were, I don't know how old, but you'd get on the public transit and you'd go to the Cub games. And
right.
That was... No, not. I mean, your mom let you go, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. We went on the L, and we took the L train because I lived in Rogers Park. It's 5 stops away from Wrigley.
Okay.
And so we went to Wrigley Field a lot.
Mm-hmm. Talk about some of your heroes during that time. Like when you were a kid.
Yeah.
We'll talk about high school in just a second, but you were a kid. Who were you looking up to? You're starting to watch football. Was there a player that you said, I want to be that guy?
Gale Sayers, okay. Doug Buffone, Dick Butkus, okay. Those were the three I really admired. And one of the guys that I looked up to was my high school football coach, okay. John Scornavaco. He was such a motivator, and he played college football at Arizona State, then transferred to Northern Illinois. And, he was a great player.
Did you meet any of those guys, Gale Sayers or Butkus or any of those guys?
No. Okay. I did a banquet with Gale Sayers when I was still playing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you're in elementary school, you're in junior high. Do you remember like any hard, what were some hard times during that? As you think back, kind of some things that stick out that hard stretch.
You know, we were kind of poor, and then when we moved to Highland Park, I told you I was getting picked on, and that those hard times I started getting fights, and I got in fights regularly, and I wouldn't take any, that was my dad, mm-hmm. my dad's influence. I wouldn't take any guff from anybody. Mm-hmm. And so I started fighting. And those were the hard times that I faced.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, were these like after school? Are you getting in trouble? Or was that, did your fighting move into other things like school stuff?
It was at recess. Gym class and lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started fighting, and that made me tough.
Mm-hmm.
That made me tough.
Don't you know, when we look at our life before Christ, we know as a Christian,
right?
God always has His hand on us, right?
Right.
Even when we're before Christian, because He looks down and says, "You're mine,"
right.
And at some point you're going to trust in me. But He always has. So, when you look back on your childhood, I mean, you're growing up, you're fighting, not protect yourself, but the bullying, that type of thing. A Muslim background,
right?
When you look back, how do you see? You say, "Man, look at God in that. God's hand kind of doing all those things. Maybe it was the work ethic you learned from your dad or whatever, but God's hand that He used to really mold you into the person you are."
You know, God molded me into the person that I am. And playing in the NFL was a gift from totally God. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the biggest and the fastest and the most athletic football player in high school or college. But God gave me that gift. And so whenever, I thank God every day for 14 years in the NFL, and I thank Him for the gift He gave me in playing in the NFL, mm-hmm. because, I shouldn't have been in the NFL. And He gave me the Pro Bowls, and I shouldn't have been in the Pro Bowl. But God gave me those gifts. And I keep thanking Him all the mm-hmm. every day.
Obviously, you got to have some size, and you got to have some talent, and
right.
God gave you those gifts. And you saw that work ethic
right.
in your dad's. Because we've talked, there are a lot of guys that are gifted,
yeah,
but don't put in the work they need to get to the level that you got to. So you're playing you. Again, God kind of captures your mind with football, right? So
right.
It's not wrestling or soccer, it's just football. Your dad picks it up, and you go out in the streets and play. When did you start playing organized football?
I started playing organized football in eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Seventh grade. Seventh grade, I was running back.
Nice.
And a defensive end.
Did you enjoy carrying the ball?
Yeah, I enjoyed carrying the ball. It was great. But then so I started getting bigger, and I started focusing on my dad. My dad said, work hard, work hard. And that was my mantra.
Mm-hmm. During that time, so from your dad, you get a work ethic.
Right.
Your dad was tough.
He was tough.
Characteristics that when your family looks at you, they say, "Ah, that's your mom." What's that? What characteristics are those?
Well, my dad, I was tough and focused and hardworking. But my mom, I was loving, and my mom's very loving, mm-hmm. And she taught me how to love. I loved all my buddies. My high school buddies are still my high school buddies. And I pray for them every day. And they're Jewish. And so I pray for them every day that they would be saved.
So that's cool. So your mom really taught you about friendship and
right.
loving others and staying with them. I you talk about that. I'm going to Chicago and talking to my high school friends. Not a lot of people do that at our age. We've kind of moved on from it, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. So your mom gives you that that loving aspect, that more the tender side. Your dad, the tough side. What extended family did you have? Did you have much family in the States or mostly back in Turkey?
Well, every year, a couple of times a year, there were the relatives would come. My uncle Sura and his two daughters came to live with us for a couple of years. And my uncle Sura, I loved him. He was loving like my mom, and I learned from him. He was also a hard worker. He was a dishwasher, and worked hard. And I got a work ethic from him as well. And my relatives would come in periodically, and I would give them to my bedroom. And so I would sleep in the couch in the other room because I loved them. Because I was an only child when my relatives came in. I loved them.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
So that family aspect then,
yeah.
still have that today. You love being with
right.
family and the kids. Yeah. So going to junior high, start playing football.
Yeah.
Who was your coach in junior high?
Coach Risden. And he was such a great guy, and I looked up to him. And coach, I was in eighth grade, Coach D. Littell. And they were tough guys and hard workers. And they focused on teaching me football. Mm-hmm. And I learned from those guys.
That's cool. So you're running back in seventh grade. When did a coach say, okay, you're an offensive lineman. You're built like an offensive lineman.
My sophomore year in high school.
Sophomore year in high school. Talk about your freshman year when you started.
Well, freshman year I had Osgood Schlatter's disease, so I couldn't play football.
I never knew that. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I started getting knee pain, and it turned out that it was Osgood Schlatter's disease, and your knee bone pulls apart. And it hurts a lot. And when I got the diagnosis, the doctor, the pediatrician, said I couldn't play football in my freshman year. But I played my sophomore year.
Was that pretty devastating?
Yeah, I was really depressed because football was my life. And football... My mom never wanted me to play football.
Is that right?
Yeah, she thought it was too rough. And when she went to the games with my dad, guy would get hurt and she'd start crying. And my dad said, "You're not going to come with me to the football games anymore." And then when I played college football, she'd stay home and wash my clothes. And instead of going to the game.
Is that right?
And then when Sharon and I got married, she went to the games with Sharon.
Okay.
And my dad would go sit up by himself.
So you're a sophomore in high school. Did you always was football something that you did because you were good at it? You did because your friends were doing it, or you did because you just I love this.
I loved football, and I did it because my friends did it, and I wasn't so good at the early ages, but I progressed and I got good at it.
Tunch, when you think back, there's usually someone in our life that. That kind of sparks the dream in us. I'd like to do this, but someone said I can do this. Was there a coach at some point that said, you know what, you have a lot of potential. You could play in college. You could start. You could really help this team out. Was there a guy that really spoke? Maybe he was a hard coach, and maybe he didn't like the guy, but he spoke life into you.
John Scornavaco, he spoke life into me. And when I was a senior, he wrote letters and set film to 20 colleges. And he was such a great guy. I loved him. But one of the times when we were practicing, the guy jumped offside, the center, the nose tackle jumped offside, and I spiked it off his head. And he goes, "Start running, Elkin." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because you're fighting." And then I said, "Okay." And he said, "And when we get the debate team, you'll be the first one to ask to go."
Well, let me ask you that: when you have a personality where you're a fighter,
yeah,
did you readily accept the authority of coaches, or were you kind of coming back at him sometime?
Well, I readily accepted the responsibility of coaches. Mm-hmm. But I came back at him a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I was in college, I was fighting all the time. And because Leo Wisniewski says I had an immigrant chip on my shoulder.
You're in college, or you're in high school. Were you have good teams? Were you guys?
We were average.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this guy's telling you that. When did you think I could probably play college football?
Well, I didn't think I could play college football. John Scornavaco said I could that I could play. And that he sent films and letters to 20 colleges for me. And then I got recruited by Indiana State and Eastern Illinois and Illinois State. But I went to Indiana State because they had lights.
You wanted to play some night games.
Yeah, yeah.
So you go to Indiana State. Let's back up. You're a Muslim.
Yeah.
There got to be Christian friends.
Right.
You're ever thinking anything about this Christian thing? I know you come to Christ later on when you were with the Sages. We'll get to that later. But any Christian influence, or maybe this Jesus thing is for real, or ever see it lived out in someone that you were attracted to?
Yeah, Mike Rutherford. He was a backup quarterback, and he was a Christian. And I was,
high school or college?
College.
Okay.
And I looked at him and I admired him because he was such a straight arrow, and he didn't do drugs. I was doing drugs in college, mm-hmm. And I was smoking dope and doing all sorts of drugs. And I've looked at him, and he didn't drink, he didn't smoke dope, he didn't do drugs, and I admired him.
So you, instead of just saying this guy's strange, yeah, you thought there's something in that that's attractive.
Right, yeah, I was attracted to that.
Mm-hmm. Get recruited, you go to Indiana State because they have lights.
Right.
That's an important part of the part of the decision. And you get there, and let's just go through the college. And next time, let's go with the early Steeler years.
Yeah.
You get to college, and now this is for real. Like, you're
right.
Full ride. This is like a job.
Mm-hmm.
How do you remember making that transition?
You know, my freshman year, I didn't suit up at all. But my sophomore year in spring ball, I was the backup center, and Coach Dole was my offensive line coach. He said, "Tunch, you're pretty good," and then you know, he encouraged me, and he told me that I was good, and then when that staff got fired. Bob Jamison came in, and Dave McGinnis, who's the NFL head coach, and Dave McGinnis said to me, "Tunch, you're a good football player." And he said Steve Morris was his roommate at TCU, and he played for the Philadelphia Eagles. I forgot if it's Steve Morris or John Morris, but he said, "You're as good as he is. Hmm. So you work hard and you'll get there."
So he, again, now he's encouraging you. Yeah. And he's a big. So as you think about your college years, would he be a major influence?
Yeah, and my offensive line coach, Pete Hayner, who's a tight end coach for the Washington football team now.
Okay.
And he's the tight ends coach. And Pete Hayner also encouraged me. Coach Dole, Coach Hayner, and Coach McGinnis all encouraged me to stay the course.
As you look back on kind of those high school and college years, there's some great times. I mean, you're having success in football and doing college life and high school a bit. What were some of the hard times during those times? Do you remember some challenging times?
Yeah, when my roommate Fred Rensing broke his neck in spring ball, and he was a quadriplegic for the rest of his life, and but he got saved, and he's with the Lord now. You know, I saw that, and he was laying on the ground, and then when they took him to the hospital. He was Catholic at the time. A priest came in and gave him his last rites because, and so I thought he was going to die. And we were praying outside the room for him, and that was the hard times.
Tunch, I want to wrap up this section, and then next time we're going to talk about. Early years as a Steeler when you're looking up, and then we're going to have a segment when everyone's looking up to you. That's you're playing the same game and on the same team, but it's a different role that you're playing. So we're going to get to that and just your influence on the team. But do a couple things. For those kids watching, talk to them about you know, how God works in your life and how he's using even, you know, coaches and parents to really build into you, like your dad built into you this work ethic, build into you the things that they need to have in life, and how he never wastes our time in doing that. So talk to the kids about that.
So when I found Jesus, I found fulfillment. You know, when I was a non-Christian, when I was Muslim, I didn't have fulfillment. I, you know, it seemed that I keep I kept reaching for other things and drugs and alcohol, and I never got fulfilled. But when I met Jesus, I was so fulfilled. I had a purpose. I had, a life, and I realized that my purpose was to tell people about Jesus, and then that's when I had fulfillment.
That's cool. And it's been so cool to, we've talked about your story, and as a Muslim, you always felt that God was, you grew up kind of, he was like foreboding, and he was kind of out to get you.
Yeah.
Instead of the relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. So when the Quran says you cannot understand Allah, and Allah was distant or foreboding, and when I realized that you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I wanted to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I met the guys that loved Jesus, loved each other, and loved me. And, Webby, Wolf, John Cobb, Donnie Schell, John Stallworth, and Ted Peterson, and Lauren Tace, they told me about Jesus. And I wanted to know this Jesus. And, I always say that I fell in love with the body of Christ before the person of Christ. And then when I gave my life to Christ, I started reading the Word, and I fell in love with Jesus.
You know, Tunch, I've heard you say that so many times, and I've seen it work out in the lives of so many people. Talk to those guys out there that, they're a believer. They trusted in Christ. How important is it, right, for them to be in the Word every day and demonstrate that? Because my mom, you always used to say, your life's the only Bible that some people will ever read.
Right.
And so that happened with you. We're gonna, again, next time we'll get kind of how you trusted in Christ.
Right.
But I love the way you say that you fell in love with the body of Christ before the person of Christ.
Yeah. So we as believers have to love everyone. We have to love like Jesus. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We've got to love like that. And he also said, one more commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So he loved us sacrificially and unconditionally. And so we got to love like that. And we got to love like Jesus. And when we love like Jesus, we impact so many people.
So we have the opportunity as believers to really demonstrate what this life of following Christ looks like.
Right.
And you've done that in so many ways. So we're going to come back again, and we're going to catch up from your early Steeler years when you were going against these like Super Bowl guys.
Right.
And then we'll do another session where guys are now saying, in what I did today at practice, I went up against Tunch Ilkin. Can you believe that? Let me pray, and we'll wrap this up. Father, thank you so much for Tunch. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you have worked in his life. Thank you for bringing him to this country, as he says. He thanks you every day for bringing you to the United States, for putting in him, and we know that came from you, a love for football, and his dad the same, and just the way, Lord, you gifted him, and the way you put people in his life, never by mistake, you put people in his life to encourage him and help him to the next spot in his life. Thank you, Lord, for that time. We'll talk about next time together that you reached down and you transformed his heart from the inside out, and he became a new creation. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the one who does that, that you transform us and you love us. And again, thank you for Tunch. We continue to pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless him and heal him and work in his body and give him that platform, Lord, to continue to share the message of Jesus in a clear and bold way. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.